Well, here we are. Today is our last Sunday in our Journey with Jesus summer sermon series. I had to practice that. It's hard to say, summer sermon series. You remember, it's been quite a trip. We started by hearing Jesus' call to follow him. We made some excellent excuses for why we can't do that right now. We accepted our mission from God. We discovered that sometimes interruptions can be invitations to partner with God. We took a much-needed rest stop at the feet of Jesus. We then turned our journey inward in prayer. Last week, Jesus issued us a warning about the stuff that we carry along with us on this journey of discipleship. And today we hear that question that parents most dread. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I had somebody say over the weekend, the answer to that question is always 2 more hours. So here we are as we turn to Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this: if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We United Methodists do not talk a lot about the second coming of Christ, right? Probably many of us here have never heard a sermon on that topic, and I hate to say it, I have rarely preached on that topic. I preach on it when the lectionary tells me, okay, let's talk about this. That's odd, because the New Testament has a lot to say about the matter. It's a focal point of our Christian hope. All the hopes that the Hebrew prophets had raised about God renewing and restoring the world to peace and justice and freedom in his merciful reign are focused on that coming of Jesus. This is central to our faith. And in a sense, it's where our journey with Jesus this summer has been headed all along. I think there may be a number of reasons why talking about it makes us a little uncomfortable. In the first place, there are self-proclaimed experts, you've probably seen and heard them, who profess to know down to the minute, down to the hour, down to the day when Jesus will return. And they have charts. They have lots of charts that explain why this will happen at such and such a time. Surely you've seen them. Hal Lindsey became famous for his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, where he famously or infamously predicted that Jesus would return in 1978 or at the latest 1988. Edgar Wisnant, a former NASA engineer, wrote a pamphlet entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And copies of that booklet were sent out to over 300,000 pastors across the United States. I received one of those books. I kept it for a long time. Unfortunately, it was destroyed in a church fire in 2001. You remember that, don't you? Yep. The next year, another pamphlet came out. Why it will happen in 1989. Why it will happen in 1993. Why it will happen in 1994. And I think one thing that makes us a little hesitant to talk about the second coming of Christ, that makes us a little antsy when we begin to discuss it, is just for this reason. We can be so sure it will be here, and then it's not. Even when Jesus himself said, I know not the day nor the hour, we constantly hear people say, it's coming, and I can tell you exactly when it will be. You know, Jesus could come this very day is the scare tactic. So you better get yourself right with God or you will be left behind. One of you sent me a birthday card this past year. Jesus is coming. Look busy. Yeah, I get busy having a happy birthday. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that we think about when we begin to talk about the second coming of Christ. Better at least look busy if you're not busy. So given all the hype surrounding the return of Christ, I'm afraid using it as a technique for fear-mongering is always sort of in the back of our minds. And it's not something that is terribly motivating for us. And yet. Oh, those two wonderful words. And yet, the truth of the matter is that the return of Christ remains an important thread throughout the New Testament. And the consistent message of that is that since we look forward to the day when Christ will come and will set all things right, then it ought to make a difference in the way we live. Not because we're afraid of what might happen to us if we don't, but because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Just last week and every time we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, we say it out loud. We proclaim the mystery of faith. Say it with me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And we put emphasis on that word will. Christ will come again. We proclaim it over and over and over again. And yet we don't want to talk a whole lot about it. Time after time, we're called to be ready for that day. And unfortunately, we tend to associate being ready with either a veiled threat or with having to do something in particular. We have to get just the right words or just the right actions or be in just the right place to make sure that we're not one of those who's left out. But our gospel lesson today gives us a very different perspective on all of that. Here, as in other places, yes, Jesus affirms, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And he tells us a story. Another parable of what that looks like. It's about servants who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. Now, this is not just a wedding reception where you stay for a little while, there's a band, you dance, you eat cake, and then you go home. This is more of a journey that takes place over the course of a number of days, and the servants cannot possibly know when to expect the master to come home. Jesus says that those servants will be ready if they are found waiting for the master to return. Now, I don't think that means they're just sitting around playing games on their cell phone, watching for the gate of the estate to open. Obviously, their readiness involves being dressed for action, the scripture tells us. Dressed for action and being alert. I think that means that the servants are called to continue to do their jobs, taking care of the household, tending the garden, feeding the livestock, performing any maintenance that the estate might need. In other words, being ready and being alert means doing all those things they have been instructed to do as if the master were right there with them. Not just look busy. Do the things that Jesus has called us to do as if Jesus were standing right here in our midst. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be ready. Be ready. It seems to me that this perspective on what it means to be ready for the future coming of Christ is much more consistent with the biblical teachings. Despite those who love their charts, we really can't know when that day or when that hour will come. And contrary to those who would say otherwise, Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That doesn't mean it will be easy. It doesn't mean we can sit around doing nothing. It means that we are called to do what Jesus has instructed us to do and live in the manner that Jesus instructed us to live. And we're to do that every day, as if Jesus were already here with us. And if you think about it, in a sense, he already is. And so we can go about our business, this business of mercy and grace and freedom and compassion of God's kingdom, in the confidence that we are doing what is pleasing in God's sight. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? There's not a place that we can pinpoint on the map that says this is when we know we've arrived. All we know is no, we're not there yet. And so we continue this journey of faith, always with that end in sight, and always tending to the things of God as we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.